CliffCentral.com.
All right. Good morning. Today is Imabulelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelel attention and energy on Cliff Central Sports. So if you want to bring some soppy, like, cheers and bulelo messages, today's the day, right? It's your last chance to do that stuff. What's happening on Thursday? I thought today was your last show. No?
Oh,
so it's actually...
this is an awkward way to have what should have been an internal conversation.
Well, you know, our audience are kind of in on all the conversations that we're meant to have off air. They get on air, so I think they're used to it.
It's always been my dream to get fired by South Africa's greatest sort of voice on a public platform.
You didn't get fired.
In the last 20 years.
Hold on, haven't.
It's always been my dream. I've always thought, let me wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning to go and get fired by somebody who's been an idol for millions of South Africans.
You asked to step down. Okay, pull a pity part in a victim part. Yeah.
Can I tell you something?
Way too early for me to be pointing and swinging my neck.
You know what I really would like to see more of on TV and on radio and on the internet? And I hope this isn't going to upset anybody, but I don't actually care because that's part of the fun. Mm-hmm. It's like I would like to see more people when people start telling their sob stories, which they do all the time now on the internet and TV and radio and everywhere else. It's all it is. It's like one long... And Oprah started this, so she has to take some responsibility for it. Well, Donahue...
I will claim it.
Donahue started it, but she perfected it, okay? She was the queen.
Donahue was more sometimes a little salacious.
Yeah, she perfected it. So the next time someone goes on TV, radio, or the internet and starts telling you about how... when they were three, their uncle did something to them and it's ruined their whole life and blah, blah. Whoever's interviewing them, I really wish this would happen. Whoever's interviewing them must look at them deadly seriously and go, "Wah."
No.
Yes. I would just love that to happen. Just, "Wah." Like, "Wah." Stop whining. Nobody cares. Because actually... like, the fact is, most people don't care. Most people are only interested because it's a salacious story and because they feel better about their own lives when they hear how shit your life is. They don't actually care about you. Everybody who pretends they care about you, and there are obviously people who do, good people in the world, but they're in a minority. Most people don't watch true crime things because they care about the victim. They're watching that stuff because they want to avoid it in their own lives. Most people watch soap operas because their own lives are so boring that they want to be wrapped up in other people's drama.
Yeah, someone else's problems are always easier than your own.
Correct. So I just want interviewers and presenters on TV to just go, "Wah," when someone starts moaning. Just do that, and if we can start a trend of doing that, people will stop telling their boring stories. Stop thinking that their minor suffering, which often is minor. I mean, most of the really, really horrific stuff we all know about already. But those minor...
You need Chopper Reed's character.
Harden the fuck up. Right.
Exactly. Exactly. That's everyone needs a teaspoon of cement. I'm with you there.
But just go, "Wah."
I think we're still very far from that, especially when last year there was a hotline created, this number which you can call, because 2020 was so tough. You call this number and you just scream.
Yeah.
The hotline is literally called Just Scream. And you can also go onto the hotline or its accompanying website and you listen to others scream. So that's how you can be considered
just try it with me quickly. I'll go scream. "Oh guys, you know, I didn't really get enough sleep last night." Go.
"You know guys, I just had such a tough time yesterday.
Wham!
While I was in my warm, comfortable home and I had a hearty dinner, I still struggled with just falling asleep. That was tough for me."
"Wah." That's just try it. Just, it feels so good when you say it as well. "Wah."
Is it like a zap sign, the satisfaction of just zap signing someone?
They're different intonations you can give it as well. You can go, wah, if it's like to make fun of someone, or if it's wah, because you're sick of their whining. You can do different versions of it. Just wah, just try it today. When someone, please, everybody just do this once. It's not your one thing for the week, but it'll be fun to do anyway.
All right.
The minute somebody starts complaining about their life, and it's really not like a life or death thing, and they're moaning about something that's totally unimportant to you, just go, wah.
So here's a beauty for you, the classic. I mean, I'm, you know, at my age, you start to get to people wanting to get married. What about this beauty here? We've been dating for 6 years now. Michelle's married. Stephanie's married. Stacey's married. Mm-hmm. I just wish Craig would put a ring on my finger. My mom loves him. He's been with my family on holiday 3 times. What is wrong with this guy?
Where? All right. Good morning, everybody. It's a Tuesday morning. I'm so happy to see the face of Debbie Droke. She's going to be joining us in a second because I owe her a dinner, I think. last time we spoke, I said to her, you know what, Deb, when... Wow, look at Debbie. How are you, Deb? What time is it over there?
It is 11 o'clock. I took my shower. I didn't put makeup on for you, Gareth. But
you know what?
I did blow dry my hair, which is better than what Sia saw today. So
listen, let me tell you something.
Raring to go, and I'm glad you mentioned the dinner.
Yeah, I owe you dinner because your guy Joe Biden won, and you were so excited. Did you go to the inauguration?
No, nobody went to the inauguration, but I was right there by my TV.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I was very excited. It was, I didn't realize, like, I'd been holding my breath for 4 years. So yeah, I was very excited.
Now, you must be pleased because it means you can go and visit Washington again without having to feel that sick feeling in your stomach. I mean, I know how much Trump traumatized you and a lot of people. But
yes.
I got to say, I'm a little disappointed. First thing he does is Biden imposes a racist travel ban on us in South Africa, that fucking xenophobe. How could he do that? I can't come and visit you now. I was all excited. I was going to come and buy you dinner in Washington, and because he's a xenophobic racist, he's banned me from traveling to you. No, South
Africa. It's all about you and Brazil and all these other countries, right? Mm. About the UK. We'll just put them all in there.
Right. Xenophobic.
No, I'm really upset by that. Hey, you know, I'm in the airline industry. When there's restrictions, you know, I'm holding on by a thread to be working for an airline. But
well,
and I love you, Gareth. And when you come here, you know, we'll sit around our table and I'll make you your favorite meal. But I am waiting for my dinner in South Africa, and I keep on changing the places that I'm picking.
You can choose. So, you could choose any place you like, and I have to take you there. So
yes,
that was the deal.
The last time we really spoke, you were consoling me.
Mm.
Oh, we won. I mean, and I said, well, I'm going to be Pollyanna, and I'm going to wake up in the morning, and Trump is going to win. And you said, I mean, not Trump, Biden is going to win. And you went, yeah, Deb, you know, I'm going to really enjoy that dinner. And, you know, I mean, I was so depressed. You actually felt sorry for me, Gareth. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do. Well, listen, I mean, it's amazing how much changes and how little changes. Listen, you guys are dealing with, I think today or yesterday, you got the biggest number of infections in terms of coronavirus. So there's still a lot of trouble to deal with. And obviously, you know, this is something no president wants to have on their plate. What is Washington feeling like at the moment, especially because you're in the middle of winter?
Well, you know, we're feeling, the people that are pro-Biden and pro-decency in America and pro-no-revolution in our capital, we're feeling really good and we're really feeling hopeful. So, and do you remember when Obama was in office and I was on your show? I mean, we've been doing this for years.
I know.
And I said, you know, when I go by the White House, I know that they're doing it in the White House. So I'm thinking that in the White House now, there's no separate bedrooms, and I'm not saying they're doing it, but they're attempting it, you know? I mean, I'm so excited about that. Let's just get down to the two dogs that have arrived on Sunday. Making love in the White House. I mean, we got to get back to like normal. Oh no, God. Separate right. bedrooms.
Hang on a second.
None of that bullshit.
You're telling me that Joe can still perform?
There's many men his age that can perform. I'm pretty sure, yeah. Maybe with a little bit of meds, but that's what medical technology is all about, right?
Yeah.
I don't care. They sleep in the same bed, you know? I mean, just let me dream about these rescue dogs coming in on Sunday. And Jill and Joe are really in love.
You think they are? You think they're really in love? He confused her and his sister once on a stage. I don't know.
Once I call my dog, my daughter, like, you know, come on, you know, Jill, John, Joe, Bill, Yogi, Grover, come on.
You know what?
You get to a certain age and you're just lucky you get up in the morning.
Right. You're just lucky that you don't feel aches and pains all the time, you know?
Right, love each other. He gave her a big hug, you know. Yeah. Remember when Trump came in? He got in front of Melania. I mean, the Obamas had to help Melania up because he had like left her in the dust. He couldn't wait to get into the White House.
I do feel that at least now, you know, that he's president, maybe Joe will stop sniffing young girls' hair. And it is a victory it is a victory for very old people, though. I think in some ways,
Those little zings in. Do you hear him, South Africa?
For extremely old people, this is a great victory because it's,
you know, Bill is only 3 years younger than him. So be careful, Gareth. Be careful. But I have to tell you, I met Biden when this is a while back, and he was supposed to talk for this is when it was Kerry and Edwards that were running, and he was supposed to come in and talk to this leadership women. There was only about 50 of us, and he was supposed to be there for 20 minutes, and he's notorious for, you know, going longer. I fell in love with this man years ago. He was there for an hour and 20 minutes. His birthday's the same day as mine.
Yeah.
He is so simpatico. He's very, very Italian. He's very demonstrative, you know. Mm. He gave me a big old hug, and I mean, I'm the first one that will tell you if I'm feeling uncomfortable. I hugged his ass right back. I mean, he is so wonderful. He's so wonderful. I love him.
Get
him. I adore him. Uh-huh. I met his sister. I love him.
That's so great.
So I'm a happy camper right now. So I'm sure shit's going to happen, and you're going to be like, hey, Deb. But right now, let me revel in it. You know, lost the Capitol to a coup. So
oh, come on!
Let
you
me
never,
revel in it.
Please, you didn't lose the Capitol. A bunch of and they were shitty people. I won't try to defend them. I mean, that must have been.
It was a mob. Yeah. Yes.
I will say that.
And they almost killed people.
That was the most. That was the most embarrassing event of easily the last year and a half, 2 years, and I think that. That after that, it makes it very, very difficult for anybody to stand up for Donald Trump, no matter how much
you
might have liked. I think no matter how much you might have liked what he did as president and some of the policy changes he made, foreign relations, some of the domestic issues he solved, or some of the economic issues that he improved. I think
let me not try to puke, but okay.
But come on.
He did some good things. He did. I agree.
Yeah. If I'm going to admit some, here's what I'd really like to happen, Deb. I'd like to happen this to happen for America, but I'd like it to happen for the world. I'd like people to just start trusting each other a little bit more on both sides. I'd like to see, and not just because, you know, Biden is supposedly more of a moderate in America and that creates the space for this. I'd like it to happen because people on the left and people on the right hopefully want good things for not just America, but for the world. And if we can.
I think that with Biden and his tremendous expertise in doing this for 50 years, that he will bring a lot of people together. And he knows how it works. He knows how to be bipartisan. He knows how to work in the background. He's shaking things up, but he definitely knows how to go to the other side and be bipartisan and get some things done. You know, basically, we have 2 years. If we have 2 years to, you know, Schumer, I don't know if you know this, but, you know, Mitchell, who was the lead, was really playing games, and Schumer won. I don't know if you saw that on the news.
What are you talking about? Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer.
Mitch McConnell and Schumer were trying to figure out some power struggle, and Schumer totally like left him in the dust. I mean, Mitch McConnell has said, okay, let's get going, because he was slowing down the agenda. I think if we've learned anything, and I say we as Democrats, and I do want to be bipartisan, I think we should, but we need to learn from the Republicans not to be touchy-feely. And, you know, we have 2 years to get these agendas done, to get our programs done, because in 2 years, the House will change again, the Senate will change again, and we can't pussyfoot around. We need to make the changes now, ram them down their throat if we have to, since we only have the majority.
I saw something really interesting. Apparently, in the first week of office, Biden has signed more executive orders than any other president before him.
He had to get rid of a lot of the things that Trump did.
Well, let's see how it goes, because so far he's already cut that pipeline, which is what, 50,000 jobs or something. He's banned.
Right. And I know that, you know, Trudeau's instituted, upset with us.
Yeah, he's instituted this travel ban, which, you know, he says it's to protect people from the coronavirus spreading further and wider. This new
variant. I don't think he would have done it. You know, he also, you know, got rid of the Muslim ban because it was so ridiculously xenophobic, as you say. I believe that with the strand, and I'm heartbroken with the strand in South Africa and this strand in the UK, that, you know, and some of the training that I take as an EMT, it is frightening. I was telling Sia today, it's incredibly frightening. And I believe that everybody should shut down for a month. I'm telling you, don't go to work. Don't do anything.
Deb, we can't afford it. People, you know, in South Africa, this is fine in a country like yours where there's actually some money running around. You know, if someone's a laborer in South Africa and they don't go to work for a month, their family will starve and die. Well, they don't have, there's no government money. There's no safety net.
The government has to pay people to stay home. That's
but the
it.
Government, Deb, oh. Our government has no money because.
For 1 month.
Our government has no money.
No, tell me. Talk to me. You're saying no. Talk to me. Why?
No, not here. No. I can see how that makes sense in your mind.
Yeah.
No. Not our government pays themselves.
Well, I remember that. And Deb, we don't have enough people who pay tax.
We can't even borrow.
Well, it's not going to happen over here either. So don't worry about that. It won't happen.
Yeah, look, it shouldn't happen anywhere. I mean, the fact that people think that the government can pay them for a month is just, this is why you Democrats ultimately end up screwing up the economy.
Because you don't just give money away.
Well,
right?
You just don't understand how money works. Because the government's just got this huge pile of money.
I'll tell you how money works now. You know? I can't speak for South Africa, but in America we're really suffering. You know, and I heard you say, Sia, about the warm bed and all that. I'm grateful every day that I wake up in a warm bed and that I have food, and you know, I'm doing as much as I can for the South African kids, as you know, with our charity. But there are some desperate people here too, and they need help. And one of the ways to do that is through, some government subsidies till we get back on our feet. The other day I was in training and there was diseases and there was this quote, and it was a doctor, and he basically said, the biggest threat that we have to all of humanity is a virus. And so I thought, oh, that's that was Dr. Fauci. And it was done in 1957 by a doctor. That was his biggest fear. And Dr. Fauci said the other day, you know, did this keep you up at night, Trump? And he said, no, what keeps me up at night? And it, to this day, is that we are here now. That's what kept him awake at night, that this day was going to come. And so
Because everything's better. Because everything's better now. Because clearly, like, I could see Chicago and parts of California. They're all opening up. They've decided it's safe now for people to go out, even though the infection rate's higher than it's ever been. Just because Biden's president, right? Because that's how Democrats work.
I don't think it's a good move.
You guys,
I don't think it's a good move at all.
I'm glad you agree with me on that, because I can see right through a lot of these Democrats who said, "Oh no, we've got to shut down. Everybody's going to stay at home as long as Trump's president. Wait till Biden's president. We'll open up then." Oh, that's what it's saying.
No. Now you're starting to become blue and red state again. No, big deal.
Deb, please.
No. It has nothing to do with a Democrat opening up California or Chicago. That's bullshit.
Gavin Newsom announced this week.
Yeah, and I don't agree with him.
That it is safe.
He happens to be a Democrat.
He's very much a Democrat, as is most of California. And he says, no, now it's safe to open up.
He's
interesting.
Wrong.
Well, I think
and that's going to bite him in the ass. There's no more beds in L.A., Gareth. It's frightening. I have friends that are COVID nurses. And, you know, one of the COVID nurses said, this is really frightening. The other one said, oh, no, it's getting better. And now, I mean, it's.
But do you, you know, when I said earlier, I want people to learn to trust each other. I think it comes from both sides. And you told me this whole thing about how you think Biden's this great conciliator. But I'm afraid when I see what people like Newsom are doing and what you mentioned, Chuck Schumer earlier, who's also he's a very untrustworthy human being. When you look at those people,
it
makes it sure. Mitch McConnell absolutely is.
Yeah, It makes it very
difficult for people to open up and to give other people a chance. And I think this is going to require a huge amount of suspension of all the biases and the things that we think about each other on either the Republican, the Democrat side, or in other countries, conservatives and liberals everywhere all over the world. Because otherwise we're not going to get anywhere. I mean, I just want to come back to you wanted to trust people, but
you're already labeling the Democrats that have opened up. You're thinking that's because of Biden. That has nothing to do with Biden.
That is exactly what is happening. That's what it looks like. And I'm afraid I believe what people do, not what they say. And people like Gavin Newsom, who also went out for dinner at some fancy restaurant during COVID, but made a rule for everybody else. You know, this is sadly what you see. And I'm not very happy about that.
But here's the thing. Like, these people, like, they don't know. I mean, I have friends that are dying. I have friends that parents are in the hospital. They're about ready to, you know, put them on ventilators. This is very real. And until it happens to somebody really close to them, they don't have a clue. People shouldn't be in restaurants right now. Do takeout, you know, support your local business people, with takeout, but don't go into a restaurant. If you don't, it's the ventilation. I mean, it is a known fact that you really shouldn't trust the ventilation. The restaurant shouldn't be open. They should only do takeout. Right.
I would very much like things to be a more amicable over the next 4 years. I'd like things to be a little bit more open and trustworthy, and people to stop performing to each other. And I'd like to hear less of the rhetoric from politicians, less of the divisiveness, because we know Trump was good at that. But my God, the other side was good too. Otherwise, we wouldn't have ended up in this situation. He was just an antidote to what started many years ago. Let's hope that the poison has done its work. And
COVID hit and he could have done a lot better. We wouldn't be where we were today if we had a Biden, whether it was a Republican or a Democrat.
And let me tell you something. I think you should be getting on your knees and thanking COVID. Otherwise, Trump would have won because he was on a path to victory.
I'll tell you what. I would have rather had Trump without 400,000 people dead. And have me crying in my soup or whatever, you know, for 4 years than to do what we're going through now and what the whole world is going through,
Deb, we got to go. Love you lots. And thank you very much for this.
I love you all very much.
This is really everybody. This is Debbie's chance to just say, I told you so. You owe me dinner. So, you know,
I fucking told you so. I can't wait to eat that dinner. And I pick a different restaurant every time. And now I think we're going to meet in Cape Town. I'm going to do the test
kitchen. What kind of food do you like? I'm really high-minded.
Anything that he buys, I'm going to like. But right now I'm thinking of the test kitchen because I'm thinking he's the only one that can get me in there.
All right. I'll make a plan. Don't you worry. We'll get you whatever you,
give me some suggestions.
All right. Thank you. Love you, Deb.
Love you all so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, that woman. She just loves her some Joe Biden. She's happy. She loves her some Joe Biden.
What a flex. I mean, that is, hey, listen, if you're going to have a house, have it be that. What a house. Holy smokes.
She lives just outside of Washington, and it's a beautiful great place. House. And she and her husband, Bill, who's actually a military veteran, and they spent a lot of time in Berlin during the time when the wall actually came down. So she's had some interesting experiences.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that wall.
That's right. Oh, man. Okay, so that was Debbie's chance to do wah on me. Right.
Is that the word of the day?
Wah. Okay, here's your thing. Speaking of the day, this is your one thing for the week. All right, are you ready? Mm-hmm. Now, every week we do something which you can join in on. It might improve your life. I think it probably will. It'll be an interesting exercise to do. It'll give you one thing to tick off on your list of stuff every week. So last week, and we only did this on Friday, so we'll catch up on how you're doing on that front. But I think I asked you to list a couple of things that you will never do before you die so that you can get them off your agenda. Just clear the mind, clear the soul, let go of things that you're just never going to do. You know, there's that goal that you've always had, that impossible goal that you're never going to get around to it. So just let it go. I mean, Leanne even listed big things. Like, for example, she said she's never going to have kids, and she's just ticked that off her list. She's now at an age where it's very difficult to have kids, and she says to even hold on to that dream is gone. So for some people, it's a sad farewell, but it's also like putting something in the fire and just letting it burn so you clear space for new stuff. So today, this is going to be an interesting exercise. Pick three people in your life who really mean something to you. Okay, it could be a parent, could be a child, could be a partner, it could be a friend, it could be your boss, it could be anybody. And you pick three people and you get them to list a thing that they just give you one thing that they really don't like about you. This is very tough. This is going to be a hard thing to do, but you've got to do it. Ask them to write down the one thing they don't like about you in an email or somewhere where you've got a record of it. And then if by the end of the year you haven't changed that thing, they've got to promise to ditch you. They've got to promise to move on. Oh, yes. Oh, no. This is a big deal. So they've got to write down. It could be something small. It could be like, they really don't enjoy the way that you you pick your nose while you watch TV. It could be a big thing. It could be, you know, the meaner they are, and this is someone in your life, so you can't blame me. The meaner they are, the bigger the thing is that bothers them. It could be that you, every second or third word you use is me or I, and that really drives them crazy because you're completely self-centered.
What an interesting one. So earlier this year, I had this encounter without asking for it with my mom. Mm. And she said, what I need to do this year is just loosen up on people, you know, because she says, I'm becoming more and more like my dad.
Yeah.
She literally, the start of this year is choose peace, because
you have unrealistic expectations.
I just get.
You said a high
standard. I get riled up as well when people are just like making excuses.
Your mother's right. You're a pain in the ass.
So it's interesting you said that one.
So ask three people who mean something to you, three people you respect and love, and they've got to be honest with you, give you one thing that they don't like about you. It doesn't have to be a big thing. It doesn't have to be the biggest thing ever. They don't have to spend 3 hours thinking about it. They can just give you the first thing that comes into their mind if that's all you need. And then, you know, see if you can improve on that by the end of the year. If you haven't, they can ditch you.
Hmm.
You like it?
I love it.
Okay. There's your one thing for the week, for this week. All right, let's get into some headlines.
Well, it's a tough one. But yeah, I already know. I already know a very long list.
Yeah? A long list? A long list of people or a long list of things they're going to ask you to do? Sia? Hello? Can you hear us, Sia? No? Hello? Mm. Okay, you can hear us.
I think he's back.
Okay. All right. Let me get into some headlines. Here are a few things you need to know this morning. First thing is...
Knowing, for example, my sisters, they'd have a very long list of complaints.
All right. Okay. Okay, I got you. Let's get into the headlines. Storm Eloise had no impact on operations, says Eskom. That's a relief. It's the first time that they haven't used some kind of natural disaster as an excuse. So they said the tropical storm caused no major disruptions in parts of the country where heavy rain caused flooding. They said operations at the power stations will continue as normal because, of course, some of their power stations, the biggest ones, are in Mpumalanga. So he added the power utility will continue to monitor the storm and the possible impact. But there we go. First time in a long time that those guys at Eskom have not used something natural as an excuse. And trust me, they're looking for excuses. AfriForum has approached the court to have ivermectin used to treat COVID-19. These guys really are like a thorn in the side of government, because anytime government think they've made a good decision, but there is some civil society initiative that disagrees, AfriForum take it up. And they've approached the courts to seek approval for the use of the drug to treat COVID-19. Apparently, this drug has had really, really interesting results in some places. A lot of people have declared that it has done some real good for them, that it has helped them to overcome COVID, that it has been a treatment that has worked. And government, for whatever reason, have said they don't believe that it's allowed yet for the treatment of parasitic infections in humans, but in animals, they're happy to have it used. So AfriForum are going to get a declaratory order that the drug is safe for human use, subject to it being properly administered in a controlled manner by a medical practitioner. And the court is going to hear that case next week. So that's interesting. In other news, this is from News 24, we are on course to receive the first batch of the vaccines by the end of January, according to the Minister of Health, Zweli Mkhize, and that is what he said in a press conference yesterday. He says the first batch of vaccines will arrive before the last day of the month to give us exact confirmations when it is loaded and ready to go. Right now, what we will say is that we're on course, and he said it comes after the first week of January, where South Africans were told they will receive 1 million doses from the Serum Institute of India. In addition, the National Health Department has said it will be given the green light by the South African Health Products Regulatory Authority, that's SAHPRA, to procure the COVID-19 vaccine from the Serum Institute of India. So if you're waiting for your vaccine, the first batch will be delivered before the end of this month and will start going out to the field. And if you're in a real hurry, maybe you'll be in the first batch of people to receive it.
You know what I'd love to see? I'd like this whole process to be transparent. I'd like to know who's getting the tenders to distribute it. How is it landing? Who's taking it from point A to Z? I'd love to just get to, you know, half an ounce of in the ocean of faith.
Are you insane? I'm not going to tell you that. Because if they tell you that, then you're going to see who's benefiting from the tender money.
I told you, my mom said I need to loosen up. The pendulum in life always swings. Like, if you date a wild girl, usually you go to a librarian. So I've been told by somebody I respect to try and, you know, give people a chance. So I'm even the ANC, I'd like to say, guys, let's just, come on, let's work together.
Well, TikTok, Dr. Mkhize, at the end of the month is the Sunday. Let's see.
Yeah, you haven't got a lot of time. And then riot police in the Netherlands have clashed with protesters defying a curfew following a weekend of unrest. This is starting to happen all over the world now, and I think it's a good thing. The populations of these countries are not just lying down like sheep anymore and taking their government's word that lockdowns are a good idea. I think this disease is going to spread regardless of whether there's a lockdown or not. But there are people who believe sincerely that lockdowns still work. There's only one effective study that has been done worldwide, and it proves that lockdowns have made no difference. But governments are, in their wisdom, proceeding along this course, and society is getting a little upset. People are starting to realize that the cost is so much greater than the benefit of just organic life, that to resume their lives, to resume their businesses, to resume employment, to actually live as opposed to just be alive is more important for many people. So in Rotterdam, the police fired warning shots and tear gas after an emergency order issued by the mayor failed to move demonstrators. Unrest started over the weekend as protesters kicked back against newly imposed coronavirus restrictions. Same thing's happening in Italy. Same thing's happening in Spain. People are just hut full now of lockdowns. And I think, you know, for those who are going to say, oh, but it's so unsafe and how can these people be in the streets and spreading COVID? Well, you can stay away from them. You really can. You can stay home, like Debbie said earlier, if you have the means to do that. But if you don't have the means to do that, who are you to prevent other people from being able to put food on the table? Who do you think you are that because you're afraid you're going to get coronavirus, that you can tell other free individual citizens, sovereign individuals who have the right to decide for themselves what's more important in their life right now? Who are you to tell people who don't have money in the bank, don't have the means to stay at home or work from home? Who are you to tell them that they're not allowed to go and work? That's going to create more inequality than you can imagine. So these people have now had enough and they're starting to protest in Europe. Won't be long before they start to do it everywhere else too. So governments of the world, get ready, because this is just the beginning. And it's not surprising it's happened in a very free, open society like Holland. It's only surprising that it's taken this long, if you ask me. So that's the Dutch curfew that's starting to fall apart. In other news, Harvey Weinstein is back in the news, everybody. Are we excited?
We haven't heard of him in a while.
Yes. So apparently, a U.S. bankruptcy judge has agreed a $17 million payout to women who accused the disgraced film director Harvey Weinstein of sexual misconduct. Weinstein, who is 68, was convicted last year and jailed for 23 years for rape and sexual assault. The payout for his victims will come from the liquidation of the Weinstein Company, which filed for bankruptcy in 2018. A judge overruled an objection from some accusers looking to pursue appeals outside of bankruptcy court. Judge Mary Walrath said, without the settlement, the plaintiffs would get minimal, if any, recovery. So apparently the Weinstein Company, which was set up as an independent film studio with a disgraced Hollywood mogul as one of its co-founders, will be the main source of the cash. The company collapsed in 2017 following the claims of sexual misconduct against Weinstein, who was accused and convicted of sexually assaulting a former production assistant and raping an actress. The U.S. judge said 83% of the sexual misconduct claimants in the bankruptcy have expressed very loudly that they want closure through acceptance of this plan. So there we go. The most serious allegations will get about $500,000 or more. And that's because there are 50 claimants. So if you divide 17 million by 50, means they're not getting that much each. None of these people are going to retire as millionaires after the
50.
Yeah, 50 different claimants.
Yes, that's Catholic priest levels. That is wild stuff.
Hey, he made a lot of movies.
Still not. Cosby level.
Well, no, yeah.
It's not.
Yeah. So anybody who's feeling sorry for Harvey Weinstein, wah. That's what I say.
No.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, he could get out of jail alive. If he's 68 now,
yeah, he could.
Counting based on the 68. I forgot when he went in. But he's 68 now. He serves 23 years. He could come out at 91.
Didn't he survive COVID? He did get COVID in prison. I think he did.
I don't know about that. I remember, I think his attorneys were trying to say that he's going through a lot of things like a heart issue and he collapsed at a point.
Yeah.
But what he tried to Shabir Sheikh at the beginning, remember? Before he went to jail, he tried to do a Shabir Sheikh angle. That's right. And they said, no, this is not, what did Trump call it? This is not a shithole country. No.
Yeah.
No, Harvey.
Apparently,
not here, Chief.
Apparently The Zonda Commission yesterday was quite something to watch. I had a very brief word with somebody when we were filming our TV show yesterday, and they told me that Sidney Mufamadi is just talking absolute nonsense at the Zonda Commission. Apparently there was a slush fund that channeled some 80 million rand to Jacob Zuma directly from the intelligence department. A slush fund of 80 million rand. Let me tell you something. I was talking to a friend of mine, and she has access to people's bank statements because of what she does. They lend people money, etc. Listen to this. This is phenomenal. She says some people, some of whom work for government, are earning in excess of 100,000 rand a month. Okay, that's a lot of money. That's a big salary. And she says they're still broke. They still have to come and pawn stuff and take out loans. Now, this makes me think of Jacob Zuma. And the reason I bring him up is because Sydney Mufamadi in the Zondo Commission yesterday was talking about the slush fund and how they had to funnel 80 odd million rand to Jacob Zuma because he just doesn't know how to manage money, right? He has no idea of how to manage. If you gave Jacob Zuma 1,000 rand, he'd spend 1,000 rand. If you gave him 100,000 rand, he'd spend 100,000 rand. If you gave him 100 million rand, he'd spend 100 million rand. He's not capable. He doesn't know how to manage money. You know, there are people that if you gave them 10 rand, they would still make it work. They'd make ends meet. They'd be able to save 2 rand, or they'd be able to put 5 rand away, or put 5 rand into the right kind of thing like food and sustenance. Jacob Zuma, no matter how much you give him, he's like a bottomless pit. The guy would just spend everything he got. And this friend of mine was saying that when she looks at people's bank statements and they're earning like 100 grand a month now, I mean, that's more than I think you, me, and Bulelo put together, Sia, and some. If we were getting 100 grand a month, we would find ways to put a little bit of it away or not spend it all. Or like 100,000 rand, she says, enters some of these people's accounts and they buy 100,000 rands worth of stuff. And I'm not talking about stuff that has asset value. I'm talking about stuff that, like clothes and shoes and cars and things like that, that just do not accumulate value. That scares me. That shows you that it doesn't matter when people say, oh, well, if all of us just had more money, if all of us just earned the same, we'd all be equally well off. We wouldn't. There'd still be people who would spend every cent they had. And here's the proof that you need. Jacob Zuma is one of those people. Doesn't matter how much you gave him, he would have spent it all. And there would never have been enough. There's not enough money in the world for some people because they will spend it all. It's just scary, right?
It's on another point, or the same point is, aren't you shocked by how many of your friends or acquaintances, people that I thought, oh, here's someone who's together. Mm. And what COVID's done to me has revealed, how the hell are you living? Mm. I mean, how many credit cards must you have? Because it crumbled so quickly. I know two people in particular that I thought, okay, everything's together here. Where it, within, honestly, about 3 months, it fell apart and it was revealed to the whole friendship circle that this person and these two people are living on the edge constantly. Their life is like a complete lie, not like some sort of pageantry. It is a complete lie and they are horrendous with cash.
You understand what I'm saying. It's actually because some people think, well, if you just had enough, if you had so much money that it would be, then they'd manage it better. Because there'd always be an excess. It's just not, for some people, it's not possible.
You know, I hate to cast sort of aspersions on anybody, but this is just my life experience. Something I've learned from my Jewish friends is that in their families, they are taught about money and how to manage it early on. Like for me, in coming from a black household, I mean, luckily my father is who he is, but I just know my family where money, it's an ugly conversation to have in families about money. But my Jewish friends have told me this, is that in their families, since they were young, they can remember being told, this is what you do. This, and their parents were on them.
There's a huge amount of anti-Semitism that comes from people who are, you know, who just don't like Jewish people and say, oh, well, they've got some special magic with money. But the reality is, like, it's something that is discussed from an early age. And it's something that any family, if you want your children to be successful, you have to talk about money with them. If you want them to just make ends meet at the end of the month, you have to teach them at an early age that if you get pocket money of 5 to 10 to 20 to 50 rand a month, it doesn't matter how much it is, that this is how you apportion it. You could see Jacob Zuma never was told that. He's always been given money. He's never earned it.
He's never. You know, he's never.
On a bit of a flip side, I have a number of people in my life who have now felt like, I'm always then going to struggle. So screw it. Let me just enjoy the little money that I have. You know, people who've done things that are right by the book and, you know, they study, they get a decent job and they work their way up and they're saving. And then this whole mess hits. So now it's like, ugh, when am I ever going to get a break? So I know at least three people that I can think of who are just now living on a whim. I know someone who just went and had a whole new set of teeth. This is someone in their 30s who thought, porcelain veneers sound right.
but that's fine. But then they mustn't complain to the rest of us when their life falls apart. I mean, you're allowed to do whatever you want with your money. If you want to spend every cent that comes in, God bless you. You go ahead. It's your money. I'm never going to tell you what to do. You know, it's like I have no right to tell Elon Musk what to do with his money. But the fact is, when it doesn't go right for you, the only person to blame is you. If you're happy with that, you can do what you like.
I'm always so shocked at how people are so indisciplined. Like, you know, I can't believe how people lack discipline. And discipline it's very, very simple. What are you willing to give up? Not talk about giving up. Discipline is all about being willing to give things up. And people lack discipline. And it's astounding to me. But maybe this is I need to manifest this mantra of trying to find peace and just go, this is what it is. This is what
one sentence with three of my favorite words coming out of your mouth. Manifest, mantra, and peace. What?
I know, you sound like a beauty queen. Wah. Wow.
Sorry.
Touch the cockles of my heart.
I'd also like to talk about the children and world poverty. Thank you.
Now you just need to mention the laws of attraction. Then I'm really done.
Here's some comments from a few people about this money thing. AK says, that means that the ANC will not stop looting tax rands because they're living hand to mouth with the same money they are. You can see it because we know with Malusi Gigaba and his wife and the way that marriage broke down and the way they were fighting over goods and the car that was being driven and it was a friend's car and it was all about showing off to each other and to people they didn't know. You could see that this is the kind of thing that the upper leadership, the upper echelons of the ANC are dealing with. They're only as valuable as the things they have. You know, and unless they have really expensive things, they don't feel valuable. And this is the disease instead of the symptom. When people look at corruption and they're like, well, we need stronger law enforcement and we need the hawks and we need people investigated. And yes, sure, but that'll deal with the symptoms. The actual disease is a disease of self-worth. The disease is, I am not worth anything unless I'm in a G-Wagon with Louis Vuitton bags and a pair of Gucci sunglasses and the smartest shoes I can find for the most expensive price, even if they don't suit me, and clothes full of labels. Because if you felt enough self-worth to be able to wear a no-name brand t-shirt or to be able to get out of a rental car or to carry the luggage that you've been using for the last 10 years and still feel valuable, then you wouldn't feel the need to steal. And I don't believe that this is a problem that is universal in South Africa. There are lots of people who are used to having very little, and they're very happy with themselves, and they feel they make a contribution to the world, and they enjoy their work, and they have pride in themselves. Poor people, right? There are poor people who feel more pride in themselves than some of these tenderpreneurs. But We've got to sort that problem out. If we don't sort out the way people feel about themselves and their self-worth, which has sometimes been stripped from them by their parents, by the system in the country, whether it's the historical disadvantages that they may have or may not have, but for you to be living like that and to be feeling good about yourself only when you have the things, the accoutrements around you that make you feel special. Yes, there's a huge amount of therapy that's going to have to come into your life at some point. Or else you're going to just keep on doing that stuff because it gives you that immediate dopamine hit. That's what people are looking for. And it's very, very sad to see. You see it with Malusi, you know, when that whole story came about. It was such an obvious example. But you could see it again and again in a lot of these politicians. I just wish that we could help them feel better about themselves so that they wouldn't feel the need to impress strangers. Dogoza says, I'm planning on breaking up with this girl that I've been seeing for the past couple of months because she just refuses to understand that I manage cash in a certain way. That's really interesting. Andre says, I only spend about 10% of my income. You're very, very disciplined.
That's awesome.
And again, it doesn't matter whether Andre is earning lots of money or little. The fact that he's disciplined enough to only spend 10% of his income, that's incredible. You used the word discipline, Bulelo. I'm amazed by that. I'm not like that. I'm not as disciplined as you, Bulelo, or you, Andre, but I marvel at people who are.
You know what tends to happen, just in the cases I've had with friends that I talk to, is, and most of us, we're all susceptible to this, is we often want to go with our feelings over the principle. And if there's one thing that's about principle, it's money. But in general, is don't go with your feelings. What's the principle? So if you want to be a good husband and your wife says something, don't go with your feelings. What's the principle about what you guys agreed? You know, this is why standards and what we call SOPs and standard operational procedures across the board are so important, especially in money. What's the principle? The principle, as Andre does, spend 10%, I don't know, invest 50 or whatever. I don't know what the principle
is. But it's harder to do than to say, obviously. Annette says, I feel that the banks are also contributing to this problem. I was horrified when I discovered that my domestic worker was given a huge personal loan, which she simply cannot ever afford to repay. Yeah. I mean, people will lend you money, hey? But what you don't
realize,
with pleasure, it's easy to get money. Money is easy, but to pay it back, you'll spend the rest of your life. You'll be a slave. Slave.
And it's crazy to me how much credit is available these days.
I know.
Anywhere and on anything, groceries, there's credit. Was a little while ago, a few months ago, that I actually discovered even some hardware or construction stores offer credit. So if you're trying to build a house, you can buy some bricks on credit. Everything has credit, which means it's a challenge to pay back. Yikes.
No, it's quite something. So if you have this is why we try to get Joe Camino on here.
Because, yes.
You know, Joe actually, like, he says it like it is. He's not going to bullshit you. And there are very few people who will talk to you about that stuff, honestly. The way that Bulelo was saying earlier, you know, some parents manage to do to their children from an early age. And invariably, those kids end up just having better lives because they never, to them, money isn't this mysterious, magical thing. It's a very practical, very real, very quantifiable matter. Carl says, Gareth, it doesn't matter how much someone earns. If you earn $4,000 a month, it's almost impossible to save 90%. If privileged Andre is earning $200,000, then he can save 90%. Think.
But what if Andre's been disciplined for 20 years?
Yeah.
Carl hasn't considered that. Yeah. So here's the thing. If I can leave, this is my second last show, if I can leave people with anything, if I've learned anything in my last 8 years of my life where I've tried this discipline thing, discipline is freedom. And I know it sounds like a prison for people. Discipline is freedom. If you're disciplined with time, you're going to free up time on the weekend. If you're disciplined in your relationship, you're going to free up time. If you're disciplined with money,
I'm going to say it because exercise is the best personal experience anyone can have with this respect. I don't enjoy exercise like you do, Bulelo. You like going for a run, but you feel even better after you've done it because you tick it off your list and say, good, I'm going to be less fat for one more day. And I don't think anyone else can ever be responsible for your state of physical health. No one except you. And if you are worried about COVID, but you don't do any exercise, then you're not really worried about COVID. I don't believe you. If you are worried about your finances, but you don't actually save any money, I don't think you really care about your money. I'm going to say what you've said a million times because it's your second last show with us. But Bulelo has said many times, trust someone when they say who they are. Take them at their word. And also, judge them by their actions, not just by the things they say. If you go for a run every day, or you do an hour's exercise every day, and you eat properly, even if it's hard to do because that food doesn't taste as nice as ice cream, then I'll believe you when you talk to me about discipline or, you know, the rules or principles or whether you're a good person or not. But I won't believe you if you just say those things, because there's a million people on social media telling you how good they are, and they're not. Most of them are slobs.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to hear those things because sometimes nobody's perfect. Everybody lets themselves down.
You need to hear them every now and then as a reminder.
Yeah.
People are also not honest. This is from Muligwa. People are not honest about their affordability when completing credit assessments. Oh, are you joking? That's absolutely true. People think that they have more money
than
they
do. That's always a thumbs up. Yeah.
I mean, people will lie. You know, Annette says, my domestic worker works for me twice a week. There are no payslips, so I don't know how the bank gave her a loan like that. Hmm. Carl says that he's not saying that you mustn't be disciplined. It's the greatest human pursuit. What I'm saying is that the amount doesn't matter is naive. Well, it'll help. Listen, you could save 10% of 100 Rand. You're still saving 10% of your 100 Rand, which is better than not saving it, Carl. So I think you're obsessed with the wrong number here. Tracy says, keeping up with the Joneses is such an illness. It's all for show. Yeah, and it happens everywhere, man. It happens everywhere. It happens with rich people. It happens with poor people. It happens with people in the middle. Showing off to your neighbors, showing off to people who don't actually care about you is such a human illness.
Conspicuous consumption is what we call it.
Mm-hmm. And final word for this hour goes to Ndogozo, who says, we all need to do the shit that we need to do. We can't complain when it doesn't work out our way. We haven't been doing the stuff that we said we would do. That's why it didn't work out for us. And I think that's absolutely right. All right. Where? What have we learned in this hour? Well, we had Debbie Droke. Debbie Droke was giving me a big wah because her candidate won the elections, and I promised her a dinner so that when she comes back to South Africa, I have to take her out for a big dinner. We learned that going wah when people are telling their sob story is probably the best reaction. We also learned that a lot of people don't know how to manage their money, including Jacob Getlehlekisa Zuma, who keeps rearing his ugly head no matter how much we try to put him to sleep. So there we go. Wah is pretty much the theme for the first hour of the show this morning. Lots of stuff to talk about and lots for you to join in on. All you have to do is send us a message on 0797482090. And you can also get hold of us on the webinar jam or message us directly on gareth@cliffcentral.com or whatever else you'd like to say on the email. Tell us what's happening. All right?
Cliffcentral.com.